Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
We're getting our highest.
Oh, are we getting it?
Come on.
Kick it off.
Come on.
Kick it off.
Come on. Come on,
bitch.
God damn it.
You're part of Face with Hard Luck. Face with Hard Luck.
Card shots, thieves, murderers with hard luck.
Pimps and card shots, thieves, murderers with hard luck. You're part of Face with Hard Luck. Face with Hard Luck.
Card shots, thieves, murderers with hard luck.
Good morning and welcome to the Hard Luck Show. You know what it is. It's Big Lux, your certified host. I got the Indian, my partner.
Yeah, Chumahan Bowen in the motherfucking house.
And old Blue Eyes himself wearing a horrible hat.
Yeah.
Good morning.
And a lumberjack shirt.
Yeah. With the hat to match.
Yeah.
Lumberjack with the hat to match.
He's getting ready to get a sourdough chowder bowl. Bread bowl.
Yeah.
Down at the
fuck.
Down at the
don't
wharf.
Don't even say it.
Oh. Down at the wharf.
What's wrong with you? What's the matter with you?
He's right now. That
what
look.
The fuck, bro?
That look right there.
What are you asking
horrible,
me about?
Man.
That, what the fuck are you asking me about?
What the fuck are you asking me about? I give up my favorite team.
That look right there.
You knew me since I was a child. How dare you?
That look that you're getting right there, that's old Blue Eyes trying to roll with the punches, but also kind of get mad. It's
yeah,
like,
know, a little bit. Because I don't know what the fuck he's talking about.
Because he knows it's L.A. Everything's L.A. on this show. And he comes over here putting the attention.
You just got done talking about how great Cookies
but I get
SF.
It. He needs to be.
Right.
Yeah. You,
hey.
You just
like
got
that,
done Cookies
oh,
SF.
Oh, come on. It's California. Come on.
Yeah, it's all golden. All right, it's all golden.
Whatever you guys want.
Jesus Christ.
Let's drop the subject.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I almost got a fucking...
Let's drop the subject.
Anyways, when it comes back in your lab, we're going to drop the subject.
We'll drop it now. We're going to drop it.
It's the Hard Luck Show.
Yeah. And we got King Salmon on visuals. Hey, listen, you guys, I have my friend...
The
Mac,
Kipper.
I have my buddy Max Russo on the show today, you guys.
Max!
My dear, dear friend.
Yes!
Man, Max Russo. What's up, brother?
I'm blushing, bro.
That's all right. You can blush a little
bit. Yeah, we all blush on this show.
Fucking Max. How are you, Max?
Fucking good, man. You know, it was funny, man. I was fucking, I was driving down here, mm-hmm. and I was coming, I stopped by Chabad, the treatment center, to see some people, mm-hmm. and I was driving down Jefferson, it's like, make a right, and all of a sudden, I'm like, at Jefferson and La Brea, there's a Popeye's chicken there.
Yeah.
And I remember smoking so much crack next door.
Next door at that fucking...
At that... Baldwin Inn.
Yeah.
Why is it... What's it like staying at the Baldwin Inn?
On crack.
I don't know what it's like.
Right. You don't know what it's like, huh?
I don't know.
Wait. Slow it down. Let's... You go in. Do you have to actually talk to the front desk at a crack hotel?
Yeah, you have to get a room.
Check in.
You have to get a room.
Right.
But it's nice that there's no lobby that you have to walk out of. You can just walk to your car.
And when you're going to get the room, usually or hopefully, at least in my sake, I wasn't so far gone when I was getting the room.
Right.
Once I'm in that room for a day or two, then you don't want to see me.
No, you pay for three days because you know I'm not coming out.
Right. Getting there, you're usually in better shape because you're about to go on.
Oh,
one.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Right. 100%. Okay, so you go in there, right, and you get the room, and do you say like, oh, I just need a single? And
then I don't think there's those options there.
I mean, sometimes they might ask you, how many people you want a queen size bed?
Do they know what's up?
No, I mean.
So, I asked for an extra pillow for you.
There it is.
Wait, no. But what I'm saying is like when you go there, do they give you a key and it's got like a number?
Yeah, of course.
And it's all like that.
That's the thing. It's like a lot of normal people are staying there.
There are.
Yeah, but. No.
Yeah, but everybody's got a little
ice.
Going on.
Is there an ice machine?
There's an ice machine.
And you go with a bucket.
You gotta remember, depending on where you're staying, there's probably tourists there.
Right.
You know, a lot of times there's tourists there.
What kind of a tourist?
Tourists and other people as well. But like, if there's gonna be anybody in West LA, at least where I'm from, some of those motels, tourists there a lot. Right.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay, and then
now, I don't know on La Cienega and
a lot of there's a lot of those.
There's a lot of other things.
I always feel like
ain't really nobody running around there that's a tourist. You know,
I think I've been banned from all four on that same row.
Oh my god!
Right. I mean, you can kind of tell what kind of hotel it is from. Street, you're
everything
like, yeah, that's not
Pico
one I'm
going. Going 18, no. Damn, no.
I used to drive
Cadillac.
Anxiety driving by those places. I remember like
start
when
sweating.
I got sober, just driving by.
And I was in,
just like looking at the room I used to be in.
Yeah, I do, and I've been to a bunch that he's talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely
been in some together.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I went over and met up with this cat, and
you get the room.
We did some dope,
right? You get the room, right? And I mean, are you excited? Like, are you on cloud nine? Because it's like, oh, I'm at the beginning of this motherfucker. Like, I'm about when you see a good movie and it's the very beginning. You're like, yeah, buddy.
Of course, for a second.
Look at Max, dude. Yeah. He's starting to vibrate.
Yeah,
he can't even talk.
Yeah.
He's like,
yeah, man.
This guy fucking. Don't get him.
Don't
overload him.
It's
gonna be in the next studio.
It's a trip because you walk in and you're packing that pipe right away and take a big blast and making sure the right porn's on and you're like, and then you're like looking out a window or stuck in the bathroom. It's disgusting. There's never been an experience where something different has happened than before. It's just gotten worse.
I've got to assume, too, you're like putting the please do not disturb placard on the outside.
If they have one.
Yeah,
if they have one. If they have one. If not, a bunch of rocks are already broken up on top of it.
Right, you're using it to cut them up.
You know?
So, all right. And so typically when you go into one of these deals, Max, I mean, let's not hold anything back. Let's bring everyone into the juicy, gritty, fucking sweaty meat of it. What?
I don't think many people can handle that.
No. You're doing a service, my friend. Thank you for your service.
Hopefully,
crack veteran.
Happy.
Hopefully, we scare some people
this
away.
Guy is never, I haven't seen this
crack
guy
veteran. I don't know why.
I haven't seen him so happy with the biggest grin on his face.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at him, bro. Look how happy he is.
Because I want to know, like, all right, you get in there.
It looks like you just won like $1,000.
I did. Yeah, it did. $1,000 Indian. Here we go. Thank you for your service. So wait, but first of all, so everybody understands, how long has it been since you've done the Devil's Dance?
Almost 9 months. I mean, I had 6 years clean, and then I went out, and it's been almost eight, nine months now back on track. You know what I
right
mean?
Right on, brother. Yeah. Welcome.
Yeah.
So, is the first thing is I got to pack that pipe and get that first hit in.
You're that type of dude.
This dude, listen, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
On top of the fact that we used, you know, at different times together.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, this dude's as sick as anybody. You know, there are sicker individuals in these rooms of recovery. And I know that I'm one because I've been told, and I know in my heart that I'm sicker than most.
Right.
And my buddy over here, he's sick like that. He's a sick dude. So
thank you for your service.
His disease is ugly, as it is for me as well. But like, And to watch you from the outside get to certain plateaus most people would be really happy about, or
right.
I don't know how to explain, but you would think, you know, it looks a certain way, and then that person goes and, like...
Burns it all down.
And you're like, I get it.
You know, it's...
He does it, and I just get it, dude. Yeah. And they did it again, and I get it.
Yeah.
So now I know this person has this similar thing that I have, and I believe it to be, like, severe alcoholism.
You know, it is, but it's also... You know, I was talking to some guys today, and I was...
it's only alcoholism.
facilitating this group, and I don't think it's just... Like, I mean, like on a more serious note, like,
yeah.
I don't think it's that. I think it's that... It's easy to get an A, but it's hard to hold on to that shit. Like,
right!
It's the thing is this, like, it's easy to get shit, but having the skills to know how to keep things and deal with the pressures that come with that shit...
Mm-hmm.
Totally
doesn't
different.
Come fucking naturally, man. It doesn't come naturally. I've had a lot of shit, and I didn't know how to keep it. I didn't have the maturity. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand.
Yeah.
You know, and I think one of my life lessons that I'm really learning today is to move slower and learn how to hold on to what I have. You know, not live in fear of losing it.
Right.
But not to...
Shit it away,
but appreciate it and be like, I'm taking care of it, you know, and understanding the pressures that come with responsibilities and stuff
right,
like that,
right,
but not
right.
using it
and making it about
not
you.
Being egotistical about it, just being humble and being.
But so I hear what you're saying, man, and it's like, do you feel like on some level too, it's about boredom, like a routine where it's like you're gonna go a solid 5 years max. And it ain't gonna get worse, it ain't gonna get better, but you gotta keep just showing up. And you just gotta keep holding on to it and being grateful at the same time and keep
That's like saying is right now enough.
I don't think it's about like just for me about like enough or not enough. It's about keeping shit simple but exciting at the same time. Like,
yeah.
You know, staying in a place of And like, I'm not trying to be corny when I talk about this shit, but like, staying in a place of gratitude, staying in a place of understanding.
Absolutely. About there's nothing
like,
goofy about that. Bro.
Where I was in the depths and the places I went to, you know, and understanding that I'm blessed to be here today and finding purpose in others and just not myself, man. Like, the shit I have, I'd rather than lose it getting loaded, I prefer to give it away during the day to other people and help them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'd rather...
But, let me ask you this, because, you know, human psychology or human emotions or whatever.
Right.
I mean, is there a certain enjoyment to destroying? Like, just being like, you know what? I'm going to fucking just rip this motherfucker off, and I'm going to let it just blow up. There's a certain type of dark enjoyment or pleasure. I'm not saying it's joyful.
I personally don't feel that way. I think a lot. Some people might have that anger and aggression in them. Go, I want to burn this down.
Yeah.
What for me getting loaded was that because I'm an extrovert. Like I love people. I love talking to people. A lot of people use drugs to connect.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I use drugs to disconnect.
Why?
Because I just want to be alone in my room with no one around me, no one asking me questions, no one bothering me, no one asking me for shit. I just want to be able to be in there and let the world burn down if it wants. Nothing else exists when I close that door in that motel room.
So it's isolation.
It's 100% fucking isolation.
But why? So let's get to it then. So as a people person, so you're an extrovert, you say, but it just sounds like either not by choice necessarily, right? And that in some ways being with people in the way that you relate with folks may even be somewhat of a prison for you, where other people, they wouldn't think of it that way. Because why else would you need to get away?
Because sometimes I would put myself in situations where I took on too much responsibility and I'd get frustrated and then I would get resentful and not be in gratitude. And then I'd say, fuck this, I'm disconnecting. Because
right.
of the situations that I put myself into, because I think I need to be this person. I need to say yes to this person. I need to build this. I need to show them that I can do this for them. I need to please
people please.
Yeah, I need to have this idea. People were like, Max can do anything. We can count on Max. Max can build this business for us. Max can do this for us. And I take and I take on, I take on. And then I'm like, I don't feel like they appreciate me.
Right. They don't.
I'm not saying they do or they don't. I don't know.
I'm saying it. Okay.
But my perception is that they don't. And the truth is, if you want to get deep,
yeah.
It goes down to me losing my father and not knowing who he was at the time and looking to replace him with other older businessmen who I want to pat on the back from. I want to please. I want to build this business for you because I want you to tell me I'm a good guy, I'm a good kid, and pat me on the back and missing that I had, that I used to have with my father.
How did you lose your father?
Cancer.
Was it
a long battle, but during his cancer, I was also very sick in my addiction at that time. I didn't get sober until after my father passed away.
How old were you when your father was going through his struggle, man?
I think it started around 18 or 19, because my father was like a personality. He was like a giant, you know? He was a very successful guy. He had a personality. I would come home and my friends would be over there like smoking a joint with my dad. You know, like, my dad was cool as fuck.
What made your dad, like, why was your dad bigger? What was his strength? What was that he was able to...
He had that personality, man. That's just some shit that God's given sometimes to people, you know, where they have that personality that people are attracted to.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think it's something that you can learn like a computer game, you know, computer.
Right.
I think it's just either you have it or you fucking don't. And that was something that he had. But because it was so big, I never really got a chance to find myself because I was overshadowed by that.
Yeah.
But but at the same time, man, like, I was very codependent on my father. I never really grew up. You know, I needed his approval for fucking everything.
Well, when you have a giant, let's just say, gravitational or magnetic pull like that,
yeah.
Right? And it's set up like that. I mean, it's not your fault. It's not his fault. It's just the way that it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can also see how you would grow in a certain way that revolves around that. Did you and he ever get a chance to talk about this dynamic before he passed? To say, Dad, you're amazing. And he said, I know, son, and it's hard for me to fucking turn it off. And I you know, how are you doing?
You know, I don't always talk about this, but I'll tell you a story.
Okay.
My dad was at home and he was dying of cancer and he was sick in bed. And yeah, because I hope some young kid or somebody listens to this and kind of who thinks their father doesn't want them around hears this, is that, like, my dad was home dying, man, and I was smoking crack, and I had the ability to get a couple months sober and come home and spend some time with him. And he was in a bed and swollen, couldn't really walk, and my father was very strong, and to see him like this was very difficult. And my mother was there, a nurse, and he wanted his son, his oldest son, you know, and,
sure.
And he was like, why are you having such a hard time helping me right now? Like, why? What? I see it. You're struggling to help me, Max. And out of, like, the depths of my soul, I was like, because all you've fucking done is send me away to these fucking rehabs and get rid of me and push me away. And I'm fucking crying, bro. I'm crying and I'm angry and I'm lost. And he's crying and he looks at me and he goes, Max, dude, I'm a fucking movie producer. I know nothing about addiction. I've spent hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars of my money to try and save you, to send you to the professionals.
Right.
And me being, you know, selfish fucking drug addict, all I could see was he just didn't want me around. That was my perception.
Hmm. Sure.
That was my perception. Mm-hmm. And my perception was so fucking skewed. Mm-hmm. You know, and we got to talk. And I remember getting him in the wheelchair and rolling him around the house and hanging out and having that moment of forgiveness where it was a big thing for me to understand how important communication is. You know, like I can, mm-hmm. I'm on this show and I'm saying some things that mean a certain thing to me, but the people who are listening might take it totally different
right.
than what I
might
mean.
Might mean something completely different. It's
completely
to them.
Different to them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the thing is like communication is so important. Like, and today, like when I have conversations with clients and things and young people getting sober, after I say some stuff, I ask them, I go, what did you hear me say?
Right.
Because I want to know what you heard, because there's a really good chance it's not what I meant. And they'll say it back to me, and it's usually very off. And I go, no. I go, let me explain again. Mm-hmm. Because the process of communication, I mean, this world would be a whole other world if we had better communication. You know what I mean? People are more patient with each other and actually slow down a fucking little bit.
Slowed down.
The fuck down That's a little right. bit. You know what
That's
I mean, brother?
Right.
And I don't know. I just believe, I'm a big believer in transparency and communication and trying not to take shit so personally today.
You know, and I'm not going to go into it unless, you know, you and Lux are interested in talking about it, because I don't want to make this about me, but I'm sharing this with you because you shared so much about your history already, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, man.
But, you know, my dad died when I was about 27, and he was a bigger than life character, and he died from alcoholism. Mm. Right. And I was with him when he was 9.
Yeah.
And I was there when he died. And he and I had a difficult relationship in certain ways. Mm. We were close in some, and so I really understand when you're saying, like, you know, because what else is there? At the end of the day, when there's a young man and his dad saying the final goodbye in this world, which we're all going to do at some point, right?
If we're lucky enough to.
Right. Yeah. What else? At that moment, there really isn't much else that really fucking matters. You realize all the stupid fights, all the fucking bullshit, the fucking material shit, all that stuff really doesn't matter when an older one is dying.
Right.
And they have some last minute things that they can say to the younger one to say goodbye.
Yeah.
Mm. And so I really respect the fact that you're talking about this and thinking about this. And I think to your point, like there's no... I think in some ways this experience that you have with your family members and somebody or whatever, I think that they can come to mean different things as you change and then look back at what happened, right?
100%. And the thing is I like to watch these like shamans and Indian guys like talk about certain things, right?
Yeah,
and like
yeah.
I just enjoy like listening to different philosophies. And this guy was talking about how our parents are not really our parents. They're just vessels. They have souls, we have souls. Whatever your conception of God is like whatever, I don't know, is like that, like we're God's children and we come through our parents. They're vessels, right?
Yeah.
But they're their own people, and I'm on my own person, right?
Right.
And I have some of their traits. I have some of this. I have some of that. They do the best they can. I do the best I can. Maybe they do. Maybe they don't. But it's like my father, and I think your father, and we put this. I think I put this pressure on my expectations of what a parent is for a very long time. This idea of unconditional love. And
right.
And the truth is it's bullshit to me today. Like, it's fucking bullshit to me today.
That's the same thing as my man. It's gonna great. You can relate to all that,
you
right?
Know,
yeah.
Because,
it's all
like,
bullshit.
It's all bullshit because it's either I do it or I don't. I'm given arms, legs, a body, a mind, a soul, a heart, you know, and either I'm gonna do something with this life or I'm not. It doesn't really have anything to do with but I can't blame anything on, oh, my parents raised me this way anymore. You know, that's to come to a point where I take responsibility. Because for me, I was very angry at my parents. I was very angry at them, and for a reason that you may laugh at, because most people it's the opposite. I was very angry that I grew up in a household with so much love, and I always heard yes. I always heard My parents tell me I love them. I told my parents I love them. Things were soft. And then I get older and I go out into the world and I'm like, people aren't like this. This right. is not how the world is. And I was so angry that they didn't prepare me. You know, I blame them and I was so angry. I'm like, you didn't prepare me for this. People don't say I love you all the time. People don't like say yes. People say no a lot, you know?
Yeah.
People say no, motherfucker, you know? And I thought I was soft, you know? And I got angry that I was soft. So I was like trying to compensate in like going to jiu-jitsu every day, boxing every day, figuring like, how do I
harden?
You know, and it took me a fucking long time to find a balance of loving that beautiful soft side of me, compassion side, you know, that maybe many people don't have, maybe like that empathetic side where I'm able to like really help people, you know, but also I'm no punk, you know what I mean? Also knowing I can stand up for myself, you know?
You know what, man? I'm going to say something. That's I think, a very... I think that journey is a beautiful journey. I think it's a journey that a lot of people can relate to. Not necessarily a core of necessarily our audience, because a lot of our audience have come from some hard upbringings or whatever, right? But I really do think this. I'm going to really say this.
Yeah.
There is a type of neglect and abandonment that occurs by overdoing the so-called right things that a parent's supposed to do, right? So when I say that, I'm not necessarily talking about your situation. I wasn't there, so I don't know how it all was. There's no doubt in my mind that your parents did love you.
Yeah.
Okay? But I've seen it in other... Because when I was in...
I know where you're going with this. I love it.
I'm just telling you. When I was going to law school, I worked at a high-end sober living.
Yeah.
Okay, and I saw multiple generations of wealthy parents dropping their kids off, right, at this really nice, sober living, $15,000 a month.
Summer camp.
Summer babysitting, right? And these guys were like 20-year-olds, 21-year-olds,
right.
And these folks, and their parents were like, please do something. And there was a couple of them where... You know, and it wasn't, you know, I was just a fucking worker, so it wasn't like I was getting any fucking commission. So I told them, the parents, the truth sometimes. I said, I hate to tell you this, but they got you over a barrel, and they know it because you're too scared to really let them face life. And part of the reason is because you're afraid how it's going to make you look. Part of how you think your child is going to be in the world is related directly to your own identity. It's not entirely their fault, because the society has raised parents to say, your child is a report card of you.
Yeah, and it's not true.
And it isn't, and it is. I mean, so what I'm saying to you is like, for my dad, right? I go to analysis twice a week still.
To what?
Analysis twice a week, all right? Mm-hmm. Because... I'm trying to figure out how do I not allow my identity to be bound up with the trauma, okay? But also, how do I not forget, right? I don't want to necessarily forget and condone, but I also don't want this to be my identity either.
Right.
What is the third position that synthesizes those two together? Do you have some thoughts on that?
100%. Because you're sober, right?
Yeah, 20 years.
Right. So I'm going to tell you what did it for me.
Do it. Hold on. Mr. and Mrs. Earbud, listen up, because this is fucking shit that could be saving your life, right? You might want to pull over on the shoulder and fucking really turn up the volume, motherfucker. Well,
Max Russo.
Max Russo. Come on.
Give it to us.
All right,
the thing
please.
Is, this is interesting, because the trauma and all that shit comes is resentment. You know, it's resentments build up from like what happened to me, right?
Yeah.
And in a four-step, you know, we talk about who we resent, right?
Yeah.
We talk about the cause. Before we go into the fourth column, we say there's a little prayer, and it goes, perhaps this person who I resent is spiritually sick just like me.
Right.
Let me show this person the same pity, tolerance, and patience I cheerfully grant a sick friend. If this person was in the hospital or sick, just because people aren't getting high, just because people aren't, doesn't mean they're healthy.
Right.
We live in a society of very sick individuals, and I had to start looking at people as most of them are mentally kind of ill. You know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's it. You've been looking at people like that for the last fucking 20 years, right?
You know, I had to look at these people as sick individuals and to forgive them, because all my anger does is block me from being useful. And all my anger does is affect me and no fucking body else.
Right.
And why do I want to be angry? Why do I want to be uncomfortable? I want to be at peace. So I have to say that prayer multiple times a day sometimes for people.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
But I'm in that, you know? I'm in that understanding of, you know, perhaps this person's just spiritually sick, man. It's okay. Like, it's okay. Like, I'm not what happened to me.
Right.
I'm not what happened to me. You know, I'm me. Some shit happened to me. Just like, I'm not my job. You know, like, it's funny. I love this saying, like, recovery is my job. Making money is my hobby.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because right. If I don't have my job, I can't have my hobby. Because anything I put in front of this program and these spiritual principles, I lose anyway. And that's why I was talking about not knowing how to hold on to shit.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Well, so I think you're putting your finger on an important thing that I think we might actually be approaching slightly in the society. Like, there seems to be some kind of turn. There seems to be some kind of, and I've been challenging myself this.
Yeah,
giving up materialism. Hmm. Stop thinking that what I drive and wear is who I am. Stop trying to communicate that to other people. And every time I talk to real successful people or read books by real successful people, they always say, I wasn't chasing the money.
Right.
I was chasing execution. I was chasing the art. I was chasing the virtue. And then there's this little kid in me, right? So there's this, the higher part of me that's like, man, that's like the Indian way, really, right? Indian wealth is older than money. Indians had a way of living without any money and for excellence. And then I think about that, and I'm like, that's spiritual shit. And in the program, they do talk about, like, these spiritual principles have to come first. But it's radical.
Yeah, radical.
In the 1980s, they might have called you a commie if you were like, nah, spiritual principles before all this neon shit. They would have been like, no, brother, you're fucked up. But the truth of the matter is that for guys like us, if it's not like that, it's over.
It's over.
We don't have that dubious luxury.
I can't compare myself to someone that doesn't suffer from something I suffer from.
Right.
Like, I can't compare myself to a dude who can't eat shrimp or carrot, like, whatever the fuck this dude's allergic to.
Right.
I can't compare myself. I don't expect people to understand. I don't speak about this shit to normal people. I only talk about this shit to people who are going through what I'm going through.
Right.
People look at me like I'm fucking crazy.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not meant for everybody.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's meant for for people who are suffering from similar things. And I'm grateful to say I'm not suffering today from it. You know, I have power in my life today.
Right.
I have a relationship with this universe and an energy, which just I call God because this shit's simple. You know what I mean?
Right.
But people who don't suffer from what I suffer from don't understand it, and I don't expect them to. I don't want them to.
They don't need to.
I don't want to have these conversations, you know, but I can sit in a room with you guys and talk about it, and it makes sense.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know, but other people, like, I don't use those language. I change my language when I talk to other people. You know, I don't talk about spiritual principles and, you know, suffering from an allergy of the mind and my it centers in the brain. Like, who the fuck cares?
But not only, but not only that, like, right? I had to come to a place where I'm like, you know what? Maybe that person doesn't need it. Maybe some people can fucking do cocaine or drink or smoke weed or do whatever like a gentleman, and you can't.
100%.
Right? Like, maybe other people don't have to. Maybe other people
can't.
Not
everybody has that. Some people get to enjoy the good old life. Yeah, fucked up. Do some coke, some mollies.
Right.
Fucking meth when you wake up with a Bloody Mary.
Right.
Smoke some weed, right?
Right.
And no problem.
Some bad bitches.
And every couple weeks, yeah, you might fucking shoot some fucking black dope. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
Or like a Friday night. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know who you're talking about.
So,
and then take like a week off and be like, you know what? I'm just getting back to zero now and start all over again. And their life is still going on. They still got a business. They still making money. People still talking to them.
Absolutely.
You know, like
they're not at the Baldwin Hotel.
Not to challenge it, but like,
go ahead.
But for me, like those people, I know those people. You know, I have tons of friends that do that.
Yeah.
They're not really that fucking happy.
I mean, no one is. Who the fuck is happy in this country?
I gotta be honest with you. I feel fucking great right now.
Yeah.
Because.
So you
look,
are.
Dude, I'm happy.
Max Russo. Ladies and gentlemen, in this country, I am fucking happy today. Yeah, Max Russo.
And I think honestly, a lot of people are who can disconnect from what's really going on in this country. Like, I hate what's going on. Like, we could get into politics, and I think a lot of shit that's going on in this country is fucking insane.
Right.
You know, and we might have different political views.
Oh, wait, what do you mean? What part do you think is insane? That'll say everything.
No, I think a lot of it's insane. I think the crime rate here is insane. I think people not... I think the homeless. I think the homeless. I think the inflation rate. I think people not being able to pay for gas and take care of their families. I think this country...
Right.
Excuse me, was founded
on stolen land.
On yeah, for sure. But it was also founded on a very small government serving the people.
Right.
It was meant for the government to serve us.
Right.
And as time has gone on and on, we have become the servants of the government.
Right.
You know, and it's become so insane because the way I look at the government, especially the government that's in office today, is they think we can't take care of us, so we need them. We don't fucking need them.
Huh.
We don't need them. They've done a shit job for years. You know what I mean? We don't need them.
When did they have it right? When did this government have it right?
I don't think I'm able to 100%. I can't answer that, but what I can say is I think that the idea of a freedom of speech is really important. I think certain amounts of like the right to bear arms, I think is important. I think woman's choice is important. I think the idea of like, I look back to like the 50s and the 60s, you know, when like when I look at my dad and he grew up and I was talking to that generation. I even look at the 80s, early 90s, you know what I mean? And but his things are simpler. Like a guy could go to work. His wife, if she wanted to, I don't want to like say women could have to stay home. Wanted to stay home, could afford to take care of the kids.
Right.
The same fucking piece of property today.
Yeah.
That cost $50,000 back then.
Yeah.
Could cost $2 million today. Has the property grown? Has no. anything fucking changed about the? Has it grown? Has it expanded?
Well.
No, it's just the value of the dollars become less, and the gold system stopped, and like well, they just well, print and print and.
So they print and print, and you're right, and there is inflation, and prices have risen. But just remember, in the 1950s, just remember this: there was dudes in the 1900s were like, "How much is that piece of property? $2,000." It was a quarter when I came up. All right,
no, 100%.
Right, the Indians when they first started selling Indian land, they're like, "How much did you sell that for?" And they're like, $1. And we're like, "Shit, that shit was free when I was coming up. So you're right. You're right. I definitely agree with you. There's a balance,
yeah.
But I also think that we have to be careful where this is just me. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I think when we start critiquing the system, because I do agree. Because it is partially the government. It's also partially business.
100%.
Right? They're related. Same people running the business, same people running the government. All right. Because
it's people pleasing.
You used to be able to work at a business for 20 years and they take care of you.
Yeah.
Now they don't do shit.
No.
Now, dude, I don't understand it, but when I talk to people, and first of all, brown and black people didn't have any benefits in the 50s, right? They weren't. They were helping white people. They were carrying white people's shit, okay? But even the white folks back then, let's say, right? They had health care paid for. They had benefits. They had all this stuff. And now today, everyone's like on their own.
Yeah.
Like you don't have it. And like what, $25 an hour? I mean, I've been in the recovery business. I remember what they pay in the recovery business. You can't live really on that.
No, it's a life choice, the recovery business, I think. It's more of a life choice of going, hey, I'm willing, like anything, it's going, am I willing to sacrifice this for this?
Right.
Like they're choices, man. Everybody makes fucking choices. And a lot of people are like, oh, because I made this choice, I can't have this, and now I'm resentful. It's bullshit. You made the choice.
Right.
You made that choice. I made the choice to work at a treatment center where I make very little money because the reward I get of where I go to work is so much greater to me.
Right.
But yeah, I hustle on the side. I open a side business. I do certain things to...
I think we're blind to our own poverty. Like, everybody has a side hustle, right?
Mm-hmm.
It never used to be like that. You have a side hustle, and you'll say, or I'll say, or I see people say, like, I'm a grinding, right? But sometimes you don't even have a choice to have a side hustle. Like, some people have a side hustle because the main gig ain't cutting the mustard.
100%.
And I'm not even talking about, like, a work of passion.
Right, I know, I get it.
You know what I mean?
And it's like... It's not, I don't think it's right. I agree with you.
Right.
But I don't... But at the same time, how do I say this?
Yeah, let's say it.
No. I just think that, like, I think it pushes people at the same time sometimes to be creative and go out and create.
You're right.
You know, to
pushes
people. You know, like, I don't want to work at one place for 20 years. That used to be the way, sure. That doesn't sound interesting to me.
Right.
You know, it really fucking doesn't.
Right.
You know what I mean? Some people want that. Stability that, like, okay, I don't, you know, and that's why we have options, you know, that's why we can say, I'm gonna take this fucking risk and live on my friend's couch to start this business,
right?
And if it fails, it doesn't, but the reward could be so much greater, you know, it's really
so. I hear what you're saying, to a certain extent, right? The that need drives innovation,
yes,
that need drives creativity,
right?
If everybody's comfortable. We might not have anything going.
Comfortable is the ultimate fucking killer.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, that is true. You got to get out of your comfort zone. I don't know if I talk to somebody with cancer, they might want to be comfortable.
My dad had it. He wanted to be comfortable.
Yeah, well, that type of comfortability, I get.
Yeah. My dad was so sick. His nuts were so swollen. He's like, man, just chop these fucking things off already.
Right.
Like, because it was like he was in so much pain. It didn't matter. He just wanted to find some peace. Hey, you know,
man,
what I mean?
I'm telling you right now, if I'm going through ever any excruciating pain, let me, and I hope that doesn't happen to me. But, right. man, I'm gonna be all about, like, they're gonna put me on drugs. Put me on drugs.
He said with a smile. 100%. Wait. Big Lux, let me get this straight. Yep. If you're in pain, it is a detrimental situation. It's okay if they put you on drugs.
Yeah, and we're talking about real shit. We're not talking about going to shoulder surgery. We're talking about fucking
right.
deathbed type.
Right.
Shit,
yeah. Take me to the mountain, Doc.
What is it? What is it? Hospice shit? You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. I only
Knock
got
me the fuck out.
How long I got to live, Doc? 25 years. All right. Let's start it up.
100%.
Right.
I got 15 to 20. Let's go.
All right. Come on. I want to do it comfortably.
You know, another thing I think I've been struggling with in this generation, too. And listen, man, I don't want this to... Actually, I really don't care.
Yeah.
Is this whole, like, woke fucking cancel culture, like...
Yeah.
I don't get it, man. I don't know if it's, like, I'm older now. I don't fucking get it. Like, I don't understand it. It's, like, I just, like... Why do people have to try and make everything the same? Like, why does America have to try and want to make other countries similar? Like, why? The whole idea of, like, different countries was to travel, was to see different cultures, was to get inspired. The whole thing of, like, let me be me, you be you. And have fun, like, laugh. Everything's become so fucking serious. Like, I don't care what you want to call yourself. I don't care if you're gay, straight, black, white, this, that. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
What I don't like is when you push your shit onto other people and bring it into, like, other people's lives and say, no, you're a piece of shit if you don't believe what we believe.
Well, so I understand that point for sure. But I think that our generation is, like, severely uneducated.
Hugely.
Oh, yeah.
And so what I think happens is for a large segment of folks, like you said, why are they pushing this on me, right?
Yeah.
But part of the problem is that people forgot what was going on in the 50s. People forgot what was going on in the 60s, the 40s, and the 30s, and the 20s, and the 10s. And the truth of the matter is that all of these ideas that people in pop culture now are kind of debating back and forth, a lot of it was run through the courts with very strong advocates on both sides of the issue. Part of the issue is that the founding document of the United States was this thing called the Constitution that said, we the people, right? Regardless of blank equality. But at the actual level of carrying that out, the enforcement of equality was absolutely lopsided.
Mm. For sure. I can see that.
And it goes all the way into the 60s to the point where Martin Luther King, it's segregated. I mean, it really is. People are legitimately in the 60s, black people who... I'll give you a great, great, great example. In World War II, they were trying to beat the Nazis. And you know what? Japan was imperialist, and they were xenophobic and racist, too. They did a lot of horrible shit. Okay? That's the truth. Everybody can go fucking look it up. They're so bad that they allied with the Nazis. They're like, well, between the two, I'll go with the Nazis. And the Italians, too. Not the Sicilians.
Right.
The Italians, too, right?
Mussolini.
And I don't have to tell any Jewish people what Europe was like for them for thousands of years. Right? They didn't fuck around.
Even today, it's getting bad again.
It's all of a sudden very okay to say a lot of weird shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Dave Chappelle. All right. But the issue is, right... So, in World War II, they finally desegregated the army because we didn't have enough people to fight. It was right around, like, the Ardennes, the Battle of the Bulge, and we were getting close. And so they said, fine, fuck it. Let's let black people carry guns in the army against fascism, against a group of people. Now, it wasn't all German. It was a lot of them. But it wasn't all of them, so, right, we're not going to paint them with the entire brush, but they said, we're going to go, and we're going to fight fascism. And, you know, there was fascists in Spain, Franco, fascists in Italy, Mussolini, fascists in Japan, fascists in Germany, and you know what? a whole lot of American businessmen that didn't really do anything to help the Jewish people until it was very convenient to do it. That's true. That's all verified. No one's doubting that. When the black people worked together with their white brothers and they defeated an ideology of hate, they came back to the United States and they were still segregated. And they sat there and said, wait a minute, I was just over there fighting against this, and I died, I shed blood, and now I'm back here. Now, that's just a small sliver of the inequality, for real, that was shoved down black, brown, women's, homosexuals' throats for the longest time. So, and this is important because I just got done reading the federal decision that told DeSantis that the law he was trying to put in place in Florida is unconstitutional.
What law?
So in Florida, DeSantis wanted to, there was 8 different ideas. And he was saying private companies could not do training on sexual discrimination, racial discrimination. They couldn't do that. You can't do that. So private companies were like, well, like people who owned 40 franchises of Ben and Jerry's, right? They're like, well, it's our business and it's private. We should be able to say or do or train however the fuck we want.
I agree.
Right. But DeSantis doesn't understand, or he does, and he's just doing it for headlines. But he doesn't understand that when you use the state power to shut down certain ideas, you're actually doing the thing that you're complaining is being done to you.
Well, by the federal government.
So a state government can be a tool or a burden on free speech as much as a federal government. So when you read the case, though, which just came out like a week ago, the court had to walk through all of these various rules to make sure that they're not.
Sorry, guys.
It's all right. That they're that they're not striking down legitimate legislation. So part of it, this is key. If you don't understand this, then you're just popping off at the mouth. There's a difference between discriminatory conduct and speech. So if you're not hiring people because you got either a racist, or you're not paying women the same amount of money and they're doing the same job as anybody else, right? And we're not talking about firemen. If you're not doing all of that stuff, that's conduct. It's the same thing as saying, sorry, you can't sit in certain places on this bus. That's right. Conduct. Speech, right, is different. Speech, freedom of speech is the free marketplace of ideas.
100%.
Right. So, if a private business wants to say we're for wokeness, let's say.
Yeah.
Right? That's their right. Now, they might lose business. In Florida, they'll vote with their dollar. Maybe you out. That's cool. And that's cancel culture. I'm not against that. Look. If you want to say whatever you want to say, there is not a single person that's stopping you. The issue is, I don't have to like you.
No. This is my thing. Is that
Go ahead.
I think whoever owns the business should be able to do whatever the fuck they want with it. It's their business. Just like you were saying a second ago.
Right.
This is my business.
Right.
If I want to teach this in my business, I can. If my business goes out of business because of it, so be it. It's my fucking business.
Right.
Right? I'm not saying promote hate. I'm just saying, because I'm not about hate. I'm about love.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But I am saying is that, like, even when COVID happened, right?
Go ahead.
A lot of people wanted to stay open and serve people and help people.
Sure.
And they were shut down. It should be the business's choice and the people who want to go there's choice. I shouldn't be able to be told that I can't go there.
I agree.
Okay? So my thing is that, like, when certain ideology and things start going into kids' school, like, I was, like, watching this stuff, right?
Go ahead.
Recently about doctors now able to, like, chop off kids' penises and cut off girls' breasts because they feel they want to be
trans
or something, okay, at a young age.
Right.
Right? How can a doctor who went through medical school
go ahead
who has any ethics do this to a child, even with their fucking parents' permission? Like, where, and they're doing these studies about how, oh, it makes them, it causes less suicide. It hasn't happened long enough to do that. All I'm saying is that we are getting so extreme right now in one direction.
Yeah.
What's happening and what they're allowing children to do to themselves today.
Yeah.
It is heartbreaking to me. Like, I remember as a kid, bro, I was molested, okay?
Okay.
And I questioned my sexuality for a long time. Sure. I was like, am I gay? Like, is this because this happened to me? Like, what? So, like, I can understand, like, especially with kids are being shown and taught today, what they see on TV, how influenced they could be if they questioned what they felt in their body.
Even a normal person could get confused.
Right. But to make a life-altering decision
It
being legal now and doctors doing it is fucking nuts.
Wait, hold on. Shouldn't they be free to have the alteration?
No. He's making a good...
Not as a 12-year-old and a 14-year-old, I don't think so.
No. Max is making a good... I think Max... You're both saying the same thing, I think, in certain ways. Max is making the point that, you know what? If you make a life-altering decision, like, we don't let people drink before they're 21.
But we'll send them to the army.
Right. We'll let them carry a gun. We'll let them carry a gun at 18 and go off and kill.
Yeah.
Right? But then, so that's a life-altering decision. There is a certain age point where the child is a minor, and so therefore, maybe should not necessarily be in the driver for the entire decision. You're making a good point too, old blue eyes, where you're saying like, yeah, but we're here talking about freedom, and shouldn't a young person have the freedom? And I don't think necessarily Max is saying no. I'm thinking that Max is thinking like this should be a longer process, and we don't know enough about whatever. And I kind of agree with that. I would almost say we should probably do a show on what really actually happens. Because I'm almost willing to bet that it's not as fast as a 12-year-old saying, you know what, cut my dick off. And then the doctor saying like, fuck it, you got the money? Let's go. I don't think it's really like that. Now, that is not to say that even though they do these evaluations, which I believe happens, there's a time of cooling off, like it doesn't happen right away and all that stuff, right? And then I don't even know at what age they'll really do it. But I'll say this. I can definitely envision, for sure, somebody who really thought they knew what they wanted. And then when it was too late, later realized, fuck, maybe I didn't want that.
Right, and
I agree that can happen.
Look, I'm all about freedom.
Right.
I am too, but I think that as human beings, we come to a point where we mature, and when we're 12, 14, we're being so influenced by media today. And parents, I think, I'm not a parent, so I don't like to like speak as a parent. I'm not a parent, but I could see like all these studies going out, oh, this is okay today. The government's saying it's okay. Culture's saying it's okay. If your daughter doesn't feel she's a girl, let her become a boy. Or if your son, and then the parents and the culture is like, this is okay today. So as parents or human beings, like, oh, maybe this is okay. Maybe we were wrong in the past. I don't know.
No. And I will say this, for everything that we're saying, which I do think there's a legitimate aspect to, we would have to also recognize that there was a lot of people that were sure what they were, and society either killed them.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Okay. And I agree with you. I definitely think there's more to it than just making one decision. And I'll say this. I'll even say this, my good man. I'll see your silver dollar. Now, I also say that there's been way more trans without the surgery, let's say, throughout the years forever.
Yeah.
Coco Chanel. My theory now about Coco Chanel is that while she was a woman, because she had, she was that sort of French type with slim hips and no breasts, I actually think the reason why she was able to have all of these affairs in a time when women weren't allowed to do that kind of shit was in part because her body type was that of a young man. And I believe that the royals were able to, on some level, exercise some homosexual tendencies with Coco Chanel without getting any trouble because biologically she's a woman. What do you think about that, old blue eyes?
I had
No, I don't know anything about Coco Chanel.
Thank you.
I just want to say this. Like,
go ahead, please.
I want everybody to be free to be whoever they want.
Right.
I want people to love and be comfortable in their bodies. Right. I want everybody to be happy and not to feel lost as I did as a kid inside my body. You know what I mean? What I mean?
Right.
I want that for them.
Right.
I know how impulsive as a child I was.
Yep.
And I know if I made some of the choices that were permanent as I did at a young age, I'd really regret it today.
I agree. Yeah. I've done some things when I was a kid that I thought I wanted to do that I do regret today.
Yeah.
Hey, like, for instance,
we gotta start wrapping some things up with our friend Max.
Oh. Man, this guy! He's got to come back. I love this guy.
No, I
love his energy.
He can come back anytime.
I mean, just if you guys watch this, man, I just want to say this. Like,
go ahead.
If anybody's struggling out there, needs help getting sober or anything, man, I work at a great state facility that takes Medi-Cal. We help people that are struggling off
the
streets.
Go. There you go.
It's called Chabad Treatment Center. I also have a few sober livings called Upright Recovery Center where we help people. I got to help you
hear that? Yeah. Oh, yeah. He used to own a sober living I lived in. Couple times.
Hold on.
Couple times.
And so we get, you know, man, all the political bullshit, I don't care about that. It comes second. Helping people get sober comes first.
Right.
Nice.
And all the political shit and all the opinions go out the window, and we just live by the spiritual principles behind those steps.
Agreed.
And all the other bullshit goes out the window.
Agreed.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to get clear on that. But like I said, we can talk about anything on the show.
What's
the name of your sober living?
Upright Recovery Center.
Upright.
Upright, like get the fuck upright.
Yeah.
Get your shit together.
Upright.
In L.A.
Yeah, we got four houses. We're opening up our new house right down there on La Cienega in like Cadillac's beautiful.
I took
over the old Marvin Gaye estate in the Hollywood Hills. Man, the guy who started it, Avram, saved my life, helped me, and I came on board, and we've been building stuff together. And
what's his name?
Avram Ginsberg, Israeli.
He
was locked up for 10 years, came out. Someone helped him get sober,
Max
and he started
Russo.
Helping people get sober.
Very masculine, the whole
thing. My full name is?
What?
Maxwell. Alexander
Luciano.
Alexander Russo.
Russo.
I actually wanted to start a suit
Alexander.
Company.
Yeah, it's a fucking.
And I want to tell you something, man.
I wake up
pretty much every morning, and I put on Native American music chants, and I sit outside and I meditate and I stretch to those Native American chants. It's one of my favorite things to do. I love the Native American culture. I watch a lot of stuff on that and. The music and the energy of it, to me, is the most healing thing in the world.
It is, and I will tell you something. It's every American's birthright, okay? And I'm going to say this, and I'm not going to explain it. And some just think about this. The first old money of America is the American Indians. All the Mayflower shit, that's nouveau riche. American Indians are the old money of this country. I'm just going to leave it there.
Beautiful people, man. Spiritual people. I love you.
Hey, listen. Because you said that, 10% off at the buffet at the Indian Casino. Don't you worry.
We're going to Popeye's?
Yeah, let's go. Indian Casino, baby. I'll call
Max
you. Don't you worry.
You can come back on, Max.
House
Thank
always
you,
wins.
Brother. My man. Yeah, we're going to have Max back on.
I love this Talk guy. This guy's stuff. Good. Yeah, hell yeah.
www.supermaxhardware.com. 50% off Black Friday. Pay attention. www.supermaxhardware.com.
Supermax.
Hey, and big shout out to Cookies Burner. Cookies got their holiday line out there right now. They're about to have a big Black Friday sale next week. So just Vibes Papers, Estevan Oreo, and Enzo's Pizzeria.
Yeah.
You always listen to the Hard Luck Show Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. Sean?
Sean. Sean at movemental.me for all your audio and podcasting needs. Don't forget to hit us up at hardluckshow.com. Also, hls.gumroad.com.
Yeah, so what are you going to do now to add more offerings as Gumroad? Because Blue Eyes was complaining that not enough people are.
Yeah,
come on, bro.
No one cares about our
You don't. Gumroad. There's not enough in there.
All right.
Hey.
Go ahead. We'll add
Get
some more stuff.
Add that. Say what you need to say. Let's wrap this up. All right. I got guests out there.
Avon DeBoe and LLP, we wear braids to court. Let the tomahawks fly. The best legal representation that money can buy.
Yes, sir.
Pulpo.
And? That's it.
Oh. Dragon Bags with a Z.
Yeah, Dragon Balls.
Dragon Balls.
Bags with a Z. Okay. All right. We're out of here. Hasta la vista, Max Russo.
Max? Alexander Russo.
Max. Maxwell I'm Alexander Russo.
No.
Boom.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise. Having fun in the sun or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.